The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good. Thank you. By the way, if you amen a lot tonight, we'll get out a little bit sooner at least by 5 minutes. And so I do want us to look at something. It's probably not going to be a shouting message tonight, so probably that's the most amens I'm going to get through the entire message. But I want you to see something tonight I think is relative to our church. Now, I'm not saying this is relative to every church. I'm saying it's relative to our church. And I want to help you tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Again, that means you give it all energy. God says you do things with your energy. What do? You keep your heart. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, that's the decisions that you're going to make of life. So the way that you keep your heart is the way you're going to make your decisions. Josh, come up here if you will. And so years ago, I think it was our first year, Josh came with our family, and he has a heart, just like everybody has a heart. And started going soul winning, and honestly started going out soul winning with Ben, and then his eyes got opened to Mindy, and then he started liking Mindy, and he started to let his heart go towards Mindy. I believe at that time, Mindy, come here if you will, I believe at that time that Mindy, come over here and stand. By the way, you guys are going to help me throughout the entire sermon. Thank you. Be seated, fellas, okay? I believe at that time, Mindy's heart started to go towards Josh. Mrs. Wells and I met and said, okay, it's not time, just not time. They may be right for each other, but it's not time. So I pulled Josh in the room. He'll remember this. And I said, Josh, it's going to stop. And it's going to stop now. You're not going to go that way. I called Mrs. Baldivis up at the time, and I said, it's going to stop. It's going to stop. She wanted me to call Mindy, and so I got on the phone. I called Mindy, and I said, Mindy, this may be God's will sometime in the future. Did I not say that? I said, but it's not God's will now. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's dead. It's dead. I don't want you thinking about each other. I don't want you dreaming about each other. I don't want you corresponding with each other. We don't have peace about it. We believe that both of you need to mature. And if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen when you're mature enough for it to happen. But it's not happening now. Now, by the way, I think that every dad ought to love your child enough to have the guts to put the brakes on when the brakes need to be applied. And I think that every child needs to love your parent enough to trust them. And so I said to Josh, I said, that's it. It's over. It's over. I said, if I see you around her, I see you talking to her, I see you communicating with her, I'm going to wring your neck. Of course, in love as a dad would, I'll wring your neck. Okay? But you're not going to do it. All right? You're just not mature enough yet. Did I say it? And I said, I don't think she's mature enough yet. It's just not happening. Okay, and I put the brakes on. Okay, and Josh, you know, started praying about just other girls. Did you know that? Good. Okay, Josh started praying about other girls, but his heart would always kind of go back. He would come to me back time and time. He would come back and he'd say, Brother Boca, he'd say, Josh, do you think that Mindy will ever be the one? I said, right now she's not. I never gave him any hope. Right now, she's not. Don't know if she ever will. Right now, it's dead. It's dead issue. Dead issue. I said, don't sneak around. Do it right. Do it right. You kill it, and you kill it now. Okay? And so he obeyed. He obeyed. We kept praying. And then God started placing Mindy in our heart. Can I tell you something? When it's right, it'll be right all around. It won't be right partially. It'll be right all around. Nobody knows you like your parents knows you. Nobody has invested in you like your parents have invested in you. Nobody has met your needs like your parents have met your needs. All right? And so, by the way, isn't it amazing? You can trust your parents when you're young. You can trust them for everything. But as you get older, then you start to pull away from them and trust them with less. Can I tell you, you need your parents in your teenage years more than you needed them in childhood? Can I tell you that are young couples, it would be wise for you to be able to go to mom and dad and say, give me some wisdom. I don't know it all. If you don't go to your mom and dad as a young couple and get wisdom, you're going to make some mistakes they already made and paid the price for. And they could tell you not what to do, and they could tell you to be able to go a certain way to do things. Now, let me give you some things about the heart tonight. Statement number one, God says you're supposed to guide your heart. Guide your heart. Kenny, come up here if you will. You're supposed to guide your heart, all right? And so stand right up there, top over by the flag. Here we go. You're supposed to guide the heart. Now, what am I supposed to do with that heart? God's given me a heart, and I'm supposed to guide it. How do I guide it? Here's what it says. We're going to use our Bible tonight. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. The Bible says, hear thou my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. All right, so here's what he says. Solomon's talking to his boy, and he says, son, I just want to tell you something. Hear what I'm about to say. Or David talking to his son, hear what I'm about to say. I'm about to tell you something, how to guide the heart. Now, may I tell you, the parents want to guide your heart. They want to guide your heart. They want to tell you what to do with your heart. They want your heart to be down the right path. They want your heart to be in the right place. They want your heart to be with the right person. Now, if you don't allow authorities to guide your heart, you're going to wind up down the wrong path, in the wrong place, and with the wrong person. I really believe with all my heart that God has your parents there for a reason. You say, well, you don't understand. My parents tell me that I can't do this when all the other kids are doing it. Then your parent knows what's best. Your parent knows what's best. You know, not everything that everybody else is doing is right for you. Your parent is not everybody else's parent. Your parent is your parent. You have to understand that God has placed certain people in your life for a reason. Now, how does a parent guide their child? The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, so how does he do it? He takes the word of God, if he's a right parent, or she's a right parent, take the word of God and will guide you through making decisions based on the word of God. Now, a man's decision may be right and it may be wrong, but God's word is always right. Yeah. So if a parent will take the Bible and help you to make right decisions based on the Bible, then you will always be in an area of making a wiser choice. All right? So how does a parent guide? Well, the word guide means this. It means to direct or steer. So a parent's going to take the word of God, and they're going to direct you in a certain way. They're going to take the word of God, and they're going to steer you in a certain way. How is it that we can guide the heart? Here's what we do. We rely on prayer and the Holy Ghost. Prayer in the Holy Ghost. John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. All right, so what do? I pray and I say, God, show me, help me. I want to help a young person to make the right choice. I want to help. And by the way, I tell my boys when they were coming up, I said, no, look, I'm not going to choose your spouse for you, but I do reserve the right as dad, and mom reserves the right as mom to veto. I'm not going to choose what she looks like. For Rebecca, I'm not going to choose what the boy looks like. Man, if she wants to get a boy that's got pimples all over the face, I'm happy. She wants to get a boy that is skinny, and when you look, you got to look twice to see him. Or a boy that when you look one time, you see him all the time. Doesn't matter to me. Can choose a boy that's extra tall, extra short, extra smart, or needs help. Doesn't matter to me. What matters is this. What matters is that person right for her? Is that person right for him? Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what happened. When I became pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, I became the shepherd. Here's what I do as a shepherd. I stand up and I look out and I help people make wise decisions concerning their family. The pastor will see things that other people don't see. That's why I really think a lot of young people that's trying to date or trying to court or something like that, they evade seeing the pastor because they're afraid the pastor might say something they don't want to hear. They're really afraid to come in. They're afraid the pastor might say, look, you don't need to do that. They're really afraid. They're afraid the pastor might say, don't do it now. They're afraid. By the way, that's how come some of you are not going to your parents. You're really afraid of what your parent might say. Can I tell you what's going to happen in every relationship? Here's the way it is. When you first start a relationship, there's no heartstrings attached. None. God is still first. Serving God is still first. Your parents are still first. But then all of a sudden, as you give your heart in a relationship, you've only got so much heart. So as you give your heart in any relationship, what's going to happen is now, as that heart is given to that person, it's going to come down to a 50%, if you will, where now you're going to say, well, I tell you what, I know my parents want me to do this. I know my authority wants me to do this, but I want to do this other. And so now you only listen to your parents 50% of the time, and you want to make your own choices. Hello? Before you know it, you've given the other person more of your heart than your parents, and your parents don't have a choice to help you make any decisions. Now, I say in every relationship, like it or not, your parents is a vital part. They're a vital part. They're not going to pick your spouse. They just hope you get one someday. They're tired of feeding you. They're hoping that one day you'll get married and you'll move out on your own and you'll support your own 12 kids. Look, man, I didn't raise my kids to keep them. I raised my kids to serve God and get rid of them. Man, I thank God that these two now in the will of God, now engaged. Hey, that sitting together in church, smiling like a goober and a gooberess. Hey, I thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you, if it's God's will today, stay with me. If it's God's will today, it'll be God's will 5 years from now. Don't rush it. If it's God's will, you don't have to sneak around. If it's God's will, you don't have to do things undercover. If it's God's will, you don't have to cheat. If it's God's will, you don't have to do it wrong. You can do it honorable. You can do it right. You can do it in grand style. But you do it the way God has instructed you to do it. You stay close to your mom and to your daddy. Now, how do you do that? Here's what you do. You allow your parents, you allow your authority to shed light on things to do through the Bible. You allow them to pray with you about things. Be open to them. Be open to them. When Josh would come and he said, Dad, can I share my heart? Yes. It's what dads do. That is what dads do. Dad, can we talk? Yes. That's what dads do. By the way, that's what moms do too. I'm going to tell you, you've got a problem with your child if your child is always isolating themselves from you. They come in the house and they go to their room and they do not communicate. That ought to send up flags. They want to talk to everybody else but you. That ought to send up flags. When you're trying to talk to them, they give you short answers abruptly. That ought to send up flags. I'm saying, as a young person, you ought to decide to let your parents guide you. Let your pastor guide you. How are they going to do it? If they know the Bible, they'll use the Bible. They'll pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help them. They'll seek godly counsel. Listen to your Bible. Psalm 73 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory." So a wise dad is going to go to somebody that's wiser than he is. And is going to say, tell me a principle. Help me to make wise choices. You know, now don't get mad at me. But if I had, don't get mad at me. If I had a choice to go to somebody that had children and none of the children turned out right living for Jesus Christ, and I had a choice to go to somebody else where all of the children are turning out right living for Jesus Christ, I think I'd rather go to the one that has the product. Because there's got to be ingredients put in order to get product coming out. If the product is not coming out right, there may be a problem with the ingredient put in. Come on, all of us are supposed to live for God. If you believe that, say amen. All of us are supposed to be faithful to the things of God. If you believe that, say amen. I'm tired of parents giving excuses. Well, I'll tell you what, my kid didn't turn out right, and I just think that he's a bonehead, or I think that he's rebellious, and they try to use the scapegoat and pin it all on the child. Can I tell you something? It might be some of your fault. It might be some principles that you didn't teach. Are you doing your best? Well, now you're quiet. But are you doing your best? How do you do your best? Here's what you do. You get in your Bible. You ask the Holy Spirit. What do? You seek wise counsel. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So you say, well, I tell you what, I just don't need it. Here's what it says. And in a multitude of counselors, they are established. So by going to counselors, here's what happens. They help you define your purposes. Okay, if you don't guide the heart would make its own decisions. Needs guidance. Needs guidance. Needs somebody to step up and say, here's what you do. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, the Bible says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceived above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So what do? I don't trust my own heart. I trust somebody to guide my heart. A person that trusts in their own heart is destined for disaster. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 15, my son, walk not in the way of them that refrain thy foot from their path. Listen to it. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, nor go in the way of evil men. So what is he saying? He's saying this. He's saying you got to be careful who guides the heart. Now, let me show you. Come help me, if you will. Let me show you something. Stand on the opposite side of him. Okay, go up there and get on that side of them. Here's what happens. When you allow somebody to guide your heart, I'm going to show you a process tonight of what takes place. When you allow somebody to guide your heart, here's what's going to happen. You learn how to guard your own heart. If you get the right type of guidance in your heart, then you learn principles to guard your own heart. But if you do not learn to be able to have your heart guided, you will never learn to guard your heart. That's how come some adults always keep making the same mistakes. Why couldn't I make a decision right? Because you never gave anybody your heart that knew more than you did. Because you never let anybody guide your heart that knew more than you did. You never let a Bible counselor come into your life and to show you a Bible truth to help you to make a just decision that was more just than what you framed in your own mind. You have tried to live where you are your own leader. And everybody has somebody over them that knows more than they do. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thy heart. This is our text verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right, think about this. Don't let people steal your heart. Your heart belongs to God, your parents, and other godly authorities in your life. Don't let somebody that's ungodly steal your heart. Don't let somebody, are you listening to me, that is not sold out, steal your heart. You be somebody that gives that heart, if you will, to the right type of people. The Bible says, so Absalom stole the hearts of the people. Who did he steal the hearts of the people? How did he do that? The people had a leader. And Absalom was sneaking around trying to steal the hearts of the people. He was a thief. You know, if somebody steals your heart, here's what takes place. Then you're going to make wrong decisions. Your heart belongs to God. Your heart belongs to your parents. Your heart belongs to godly authorities in your life. That will never change. Possessions, 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what do? We understand that possessions can steal the heart. You see somebody, man, they get excited about things. Well, I've got to have the newest thing. Well, I've got the latest thing. Well, it's this thing that has my attention. Things can steal the heart. Can I tell you, pleasures can steal the heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boys that's fixing themselves up to be pretty boys. Glamour queens that's more concerned about what they have on the outward side than they are on the inward side. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. It says false accusers, incontinent. The Bible says fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's in the last days, perilous times shall come. So what takes place is this. We see that now people say, well, I can master my own life. Can I tell you, only God should be mastering your life. Somebody says, well, I'll serve God anywhere, but not on the mission field. Then God's not mastering your life. Well, I'll let my child serve God anywhere, but they're not going to go to the mission field. Then God is not mastering your life. You ought to be willing to let God use you anywhere. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 was described through verse 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that means he was mature. Mature people make mature decisions. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. It says, for a season. Could have been a short season. He said, I don't want that. I'd rather suffer than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He said, look, I'm going to make a choice. I'm not going to get caught up in the pleasures. Now, let me show you something. Here's what happens. When you begin to allow people to help you guide your heart, then you will walk into a realm of understanding what it is to be able to guard your heart. Come help me if you will. When you walk into the realm of understanding how to guard your heart, then you give your heart to the right area. Why is it that some people give and other people don't? Why is it that some people, it's all about others and serving others, while in other people's lives, it's all about them and how much I can get for myself? Where does that come from? That's a heart decision. It's a heart decision. When you make a heart decision of, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow somebody to guide my heart that is older, somebody that knows the Bible better. I'm going to allow them to guide my heart. Then if you allow your heart to be guided, you're going to wind up in the right area. When you're in the right area, it's going to be a natural guard. When it's a natural guard, let me tell you what's going to happen. You will naturally give to that cause. Now stay with me. You let the wrong people guide your heart, it's going to be unguarded. When it's unguarded, you're still going to give, but to the wrong purpose. How many people have I known over the years that used to serve God? How many people have I known over the years that used to go soul winning? Used to have Bible standards? Used to believe in this book? But now they don't do it anymore. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they allowed somebody to guide them. Now they're guarding against that which is truth. And now they're giving to the wrong purpose. They're giving their children over to that which is hurtful things. Now, wait a minute. How is it? Who is it that we should give that heart to? Here's what it says again. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. He says, my son, he said, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. My children have heard me say it over and over again. Yes, sir. There's only one thing I ask from you. That's it. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. I'm not asking anything else from my own children. Give me your heart. Because if you'll give me your heart, you give me the decision-making process in your life. So give me your heart so I can guide you down the right way. Now here's what he says. He says, my son, give me thine heart. And says, and let thine eyes observe my ways. A lot of parents say, go soul winning, when they should be saying, come soul winning. They say, go to church, when they should be saying, come, let us go to church. A lot of you dads never go to the altar. May I tell you, you ought to be walking down to the altar with your child. Praying with your child. Getting together with God, with your child. You ought to be pointing your child through you to Jesus Christ. May I say tonight that you ought to be that one that gives that heart as a child to the parent. But wait a minute. Here's what it says. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. He says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I believe there's a lot of cursed families. Can I tell you why? Because the heart is a two-way street. I disagree with the philosophy that's out there today. The philosophy is we have no family time. But you know, when you get your kids in a car and you go down to the gas station and get a cup of coffee, unless you're ignorant of using your time, that's family time. Family time is not sitting around a board and playing a game or going to an amusement park. Family time is not sitting around an entertainment center and watching a DVD or some electric type of movie. That's not family time. Family time is when you're heart to heart. Family time is when you're walking together and you're saying, hey, how things in your life? What's going on in your life? How can I help you? What is the decisions that you're facing in your life? What are you praying about? Family time is not necessarily having an hour altar, a family altar night at your house. But family time is having some type of gathering. Family time is talking. Family time is spending time with each other. Well, I think the only time we can have family time is if we go on vacation. You can have family time together as you're driving to church. You can take your family out soul winning. You can take your family, work on a bus route. You can take your family and go out, hit the ball with them, run around the park with them, play frisbee with them. You can have a picnic and get yourself some sandwiches and go out. You don't necessarily have to go to some extravagant place in order to have family time. May I say tonight, give your heart. Give your heart to your parents, and parents, give your heart to your child. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, you won't like this one. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, the Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth the son. Hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The word betimes means early. Now, by the way, listen to me. And so we had Woody. You remember Woody? Woody is older than Jonathan. It's a paddle. It's about that wide, about that long. Had a man make it special because Jonathan was about to come into the world. We didn't know if we were going to have any other children, but we knew we were going to love him. And we called him Mr. Woody. I cannot begin to tell you how many times Mr. Woody was captured. Never held for ransom, but captured. I cannot begin to tell you how many times we say, Woody, where are you? And it never spoke back, but we found it. And it was hidden underneath the sofa. It was missing off of that special place where only Woody hung out. And we knew that Woody didn't walk away. Now, I believe in this. You may not like it. People listening to it on the internet may not like it. But I believe in corporal punishment. I believe that you apply the board of understanding to the seat. And as you do, wisdom is now gained. I believe that. Call me a little bit old-fashioned, but I believe that parents do their kids great harm when all of a sudden a kid gets away with anything. You tell your child to do something and they ignore you. You know what you're doing? You're raising a child that's going to ignore other authorities too. We had a sacred place in our house. It was my wife's and I bedroom. We never disciplined kids in the living room because we didn't want them to walk in the living room and remember, it was here that Woody appeared. We didn't want that. We didn't want to discipline them in the kitchen because they get nervous when they go in the kitchen and where's Woody? So Woody was always in the bedroom. And so we would say to, hey, go to our bedroom and wait. They knew what was coming. We get in there and we'd talk for a little while. Sometimes as they got older, now when they were younger, we would discipline just like that because they'd forget. What am I here for? Well, what you did 10 minutes ago. What'd I do? But as they got older, we said, go in the bedroom and wait. We'll be there. Drink a cup of coffee. Have fellowship. Eat 5 donuts. Become a donut. I peek my head in the door. Are you thinking? Good, keep thinking. Go back, drink another cup of coffee, eat 5 more donuts. Take my time going in. Now, we never believed in the timeout thing. We never did that. Go stand in the corner and figure out how you can do it better next time and get away with it. Never did that. We use Woody. Send him to the bedroom. I'd come in and I'd say, now, and by the way, we had a chart on the wall. You remember that? It was on the kitchen and on the refrigerator. You remember that? These two boys all remember that, or anybody else. They visited that paper more than anybody else. Brother Cavanaugh, they'd go up there and they'd see that chewing gum in church was 2 paddles. I believe you ought to respect the house of God. So we said, if you chew gum in church, we catch you, you're getting 2 paddles. And so, all you gum swallowers, all you gum chewers, just swallowed your gum. And so, Brother Oakley, they'd go home. They'd decide, do I want to chew gum in church? If I do, and my preacher, my daddy catches me, I'm in trouble. Running down the hallway. There's 1 or 2 paddles. I forget what it was. I guess it depended on the purpose of which they were running, from me or to me. But they get paddles. But anyway, it was just. And everybody got the same discipline. And we didn't waver from it. Well, you know, what do you think we ought to give him? Let's toss it and see. If he turns on heads, he gets 5. If he turns on tails, he gets 2. And they give us a 2-headed or a 2-tailed coin. But it was just. We didn't waver from it. We didn't think about it. We just did it. You did that, go to the room. You did that, go to the room. Took care of it. By the way, by the time they reached 25, they got less paddles. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But by the time they became teenagers, to be honest with you, very seldom would they ever get paddles because they knew which way to go. They wanted to obey. They wanted to do what was right. Now, there was some times when they were teenagers, they got them, but not as often. Now, may I say this? I'm saying I've got to hurry. When you guide the heart, you will learn to guard the heart. When you guard the heart, then that heart will give in that area. Give me another boy here, if you will, right here, Matthew. Come, please, and go up there and stand beside your brother on that other side. All right? Here's what happens. When you guide the heart, it shows you where to guard it. As you learn to guard the heart, then you learn to give in that area. After you give, it becomes to govern you. It begins to govern you. It begins to take control. Now it's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do. And you begin to govern your own life. What's that mean? That means to rule it. That means to reign it. That means to restrain it. That means to be able to regulate it. So what are you doing? Now you're taking and you're governing that heart. That means instead of making decisions based on circumstances, you're making it based on character. That means instead of making decisions on that which is an emotional strain, you're making it on the will of God. That means instead of making a decision based on what you think you ought to do because you got everything in a row, you can make it soundly, knowing that God is in it without question. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. It says, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. Here we go. Come help me if you will. What takes place is this. Let me show you and I'm done. Here it is. You allow somebody to guide you. You allow somebody to guide you. They help you to see where you need to place up guards. Come on. Hello. Let me show you a guard. No boy and no girl ought to be alone in a home. It's a guard. Shouldn't be alone in a car. Shouldn't be walking in somebody else's car by yourself that's of the opposite gender. There's some guidelines there. There's some guidelines. Shouldn't be ashamed for your parents to read your texts. Because if you're texting properly, you're not ashamed of it. There's some guidelines there. All right? And so what happens, you get the right type of guides in your life and they help you to set up guards. Now you're able to freely give. You say, man, I want to serve God. I want to, you know, a person that has all the clutter of the world inside of their life, they don't want to serve God. You'll see them. They're casual. They're not soul winners. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Why? Because they're simply not having the heart in the right place. Wait a minute. So there's a guide leads to guarding it right, giving it right, governing it right, then grounding. You know what happens when a person is having their heart in the right place? They can establish the principles in their life and ground other people to do so. They can make themselves secure and provide security for somebody else. They can settle things in their own opportunities of making right decisions and help somebody else to make right decisions. They can fasten things down. They can fix things. They can be able to make right decisions that will guide. Wait a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, and I'm done. It says, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Now watch this, if you will. Where's Mrs. Baldivis? I want you to come up here. You're going to represent your family. Mrs. Wells, you come up here and represent her family. I'll show you a story, okay? All right, here we go. That's okay, ladies. Here we go. You stand over by your son. You stand by your daughter. No, you don't go over there.
I was going to help her up.
No, you're going to help her up. Okay, I'm sorry. Man, you're more of a gentleman than I am. That's good. No, don't turn red face. You did good. You did good. Okay, and now we... Okay, I forgot my sermon. Brother Kavanaugh, come here if you want. Okay? So now we got a male Sunday school teacher over here. Here we go. Just stand over here. All right, Miss Fenton, come here. You got a female Sunday school teacher? Miss Fenton, come. Right here. Female Sunday school teacher. Okay? Got somebody? Thank you. You stand there. You got somebody that's a soul winner. Somebody that's over the soul winning program, our teen soul winning program, doing a good job. Okay, let's bring a youth director. Got a youth director over here. Here we go. Watch that. I want to show you something. Principal. Got a principal over here. And by the way, these are intermixed because they got them in both their lives. Okay, music director right over here. College president, vice president, if you will. Vice president, come here. Okay. You're not taking my place. Okay, here we go. Vice president. Okay, watch this, if you will. Okay. Now, here's what takes place. They're going to circle, get in a circle around Mindy, get in a circle around Josh. Here's what happens. This is called guarding the heart. She goes to mom, and she says, I like him. He he's Mr. Wonderful. And she says, not now. Not now. So what she tries to do is she tries to go to another authority. Yeah. Says, well, I like so-and-so. What do you think? And the authority, not operating the way they should, says, well, in my opinion, that's a good person. I'm proud of you. When what the authority should have said, what's your parents say? What's your man of God say? It's two major authorities in your life. What do they say? If you talk it over with your parents and your parents say no, then I stand with your parents. If your man of God says no, I stand with your man of God. All of a sudden, he says, man, I see a girl. She's beautiful. She's just beautiful. Man. Right, you were talking about men. Okay. So, beautiful. And so, he goes to mom. Dad's at work. Goes to mom. And mom says, I'll get back with you. Let me talk to your dad about this. Because mom realizes she has a head. So, she goes to her head and says, honey, what do you think? And dad says, not on your life. Not on your life. It's not going to happen. And so, we begin to talk, and I say, look, I can tell him, you can tell him, we both can tell him, but we're going to tell him. So we decide that it's best for me to tell him. So I tell him, he begins to cry, oh, my life is over. Don't rip your heart, son, that's a piece of paper. I just don't think I'll survive. Now, by the way, when you're at the lowest point in your life, that's when you can get with God. Amen. Yeah. You don't take authority in your own hand. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to sneak around because my parents just doesn't know. Your parents know more than what's in your pinky, what's in your toe, what's in your total cranium. They know more than you. And by the way, if it's God's will, can't God change your parents' heart? Amen. Sure he can. Can I tell you, here's what happens. Let her go. Come this way. Let him go. Come this way. Here's what happens. All of a sudden, here's what happens. Stand right here. Face them. Face them. Face them. Here's what happens. Eventually, authorities... Now, listen to me. Eventually, authorities say, man, that's really good. I think God's in it. Let me give you some guidelines how to work. Let me help you. Amen. Let me show you where to apply the brakes, how fast to go. Yes, sir. Just because we love you. Amen. Okay? All right? And so we guide them to try and help them. You say, that's too much. It's too much on me. I'm sorry. Then you shouldn't have had children. You've got to do what's right by your kids. They don't know how fast to go.
That's right.
They have no idea.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can I tell you, the average girl wants to get married tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Right.
The average guy is dumb enough to say yes, and then he regrets it after he says, I do. Says, I didn't realize it was going to cost a feeder. Nobody told me that. Man, she's always asking for clothes. I keep telling her to get out the can and stand on the corner, but it's not appealing to her. Hello? You've got to be a guide. I'm going to tell you, when they start giving their hearts to each other, it grows naturally.
Yes, sir.
And it will grow fast. It will grow fast. How many times has he said, Dad, can we do this? I said, no, it's not time. Dad, what about now? Slow it down. Dad, we'll be forever. No, you won't. Now they're engaged. Dad, I'm nervous. Okay. You've got to be the one to guide the heart. Can I tell you something that's going to discredit you and hurt you? You got a little kid. Somebody else has a little kid. You're walking down the hallway and you say, oh, look at her. Isn't she cute? Y'all would make a nice couple in the future. You've already started a process. I love you, but that's dumb. Hey, don't you like so-and-so? Boy, isn't she pretty? You're pushing your kid. Don't do that. Can I tell you, they will naturally grow in that area. Come on. They will. Now, I'm not saying hold them back from getting married, but you have to decide when they're mature enough. Yes, you do. Thank you. Be seated, all of you. Take your hearts and go away. I'm going to tell you something. I'm scared to death of some parents that are just not making wise choices. Can I help you a little bit? And I'm scared to death of young people that are saying, I want my way. I'm going to like her and I'm going to like him and I don't care what you say. You're asking for that curse God talked about. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, parents, you got to let them grow up. Well, nobody's ever going to be good enough for my kid. Yeah, they will. Well, she's not perfect. Have you seen you? Well, he's just not perfect. Can I tell you something? But you got to be wise enough as a young person. Okay, I'll quit with this illustration. I saw Mrs. Wells. Before she was Mrs. Wells, she was Sylvia Dennison. I was in college. I'd surrendered to preach June 26, 1982. Surrendered. Don't do that to me. Surrender to preach. I knew God wanted me to preach. I knew that every preacher should have a wife. So I started asking girls to be my wife. Now, not immediately. I date them. I take them out. Chaperone dates, always. Take them out. We'd go out to expensive places, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's. I'd spend my hard-earned money on them. We'd date for a while. Then all of a sudden, they'd surrender to go to a mission field. And I thought, man, this is great. God's using me as a conduit to get people to the mission field. Now, I had hurt feelings about it to begin with. I wasn't as spiritual as I am today. So I thought, man, they're not just leaving me, they're leaving the country. But God was using me, and I thought, well, it's great to be used as a tool of God, get people in the mission field. So I made a deal with God. Well, not a deal, it was one-sided. I just asked him to do it. I said, God, would you do me a favor? The one I'm supposed to marry, would you have her to ask me out? Simple deal, simple prayer. God didn't say no, so I thought he would. So I was in charge of all the Bible clubs. We had a huge church running about 6,000. And I was in charge of all the public school Bible clubs. And the Bible clubs grew. We had, I guess, well over 100 or so. Had a big day on a football field. And I was the Bible club director for the church. And had a big day on a football field. We were expecting at least 100 teenagers or so to come. Called, I think, the college singers that travel, they came over, they sang, called the youth director, said, I need a soul winner or two, and we're going to have a big day, going to see people get sick. I need some soul winners. Sylvia showed up. Yeah, she's today Mrs. Wells. She showed up. I was excited. I thought, man, that's the one I've been praying for. God just sent her to me just like that. I watched her. She was bringing people down the aisle often. She was out soul winning all the time. I watched her. Had a soul winner's heart. Had the right type of dress. Right type of attitude. Just was right all around. I said, man, that's the one. But I'm not going to ask her out. Because if I do, she's moving to a mission field. So I said, God, would you please speak to her heart? Have her ask me out. You know the story. She, I got done preaching, gave the invitation. People got saved, all that. I walked her across the football field. Her mom was there, opened the car door. She got all her body parts in and shut the door. She drove off. I was heartbroken. She drove around to the other side of the football field. She got back out of the car, came back across the football field, and said, my mother wants to know, would you like to come over for a meal sometime? I thought God was confused. I didn't want to marry her mother. I mean, I liked her, but not that much. A little bit too old for me. And so I went over to eat, and it was great. Her dad had this in his mind. Mrs. Wells has never known what it is to get a C, a B, a short A. She's a walking dictionary. I mean, I can say, spell that for me. She spells it just like that. Right every time. I mean, she knows she's very high academically. That's why God put us together. Don't do that to me. And so, thank you. And so here we are. And so she asked me, oh, her mom. And so I went over to the house. When I got over the house, her dad said, I want my daughter not to ever marry a preacher. Preachers will have no money. They'll drive junk. They'll live in junk houses. They'll live like paupers and die that way. I don't ever want her to marry a preacher. Do you understand me? Man, I just surrendered to preach. He said, what are you going to do in life? So I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a politician on the Democrats. Where I can lie and think it's right. And so I said, well, I'm going to be a preacher. He said, okay. You understand how I feel? I began to pray. And I watched God. By the way, I obeyed the dad. Honored him all the way. But I prayed, I fasted, and I watched God change a heart. Then there was an open invitation. When we got married, it was according to the will of God and the will of the parents, and I had the blessings of both. Come on. You can't tell me that you can't do it right. Can't tell me. You can do it right. I watched her walk down the aisle. I was scared. She was scared. We got married. The rest is history. Now, may I tell you this? Be careful about your heart. Be careful about your heart. God's timing is always God's timing. I think every young man ought to make a decision. You're going to give your heart to God. And you let God bring the perfect one in your perfect world into your life. I think every young lady ought to make a decision. I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to let God. I'm just going to let God. By the way, if your flesh wants it, it's probably not right. I've got to be with her because she's pretty. That'd change. I got to be with him because he's handsome and he's built. That'd change. Come on, I'm telling you, I got to be with him or her because of their personality. Can I tell you, personalities even change? Can I tell you that? See, that's how come you got to understand. Us guys that's been married for 30 years or so, you got to understand this. You've got to understand that what you see today might not be what you get tomorrow. That's why you got to understand, it better be the will of God. Because there is a clause that says, till death do we part. So I married her because she's pretty. I didn't know she'd turn out this way. Well, I married him because he was smart. Oh, what a mistake. Well, I married him because, I mean, after all, he was somebody that was just built. Hello? It'll all change. Can I tell you, it's all going to change. Yeah, come on. You married somebody because they had hair? They still do. Now it's just somebody else's. Yeah. You said, man, it's the smile. Then all of a sudden they got a disease in the mouth, lost all their teeth. Come on. You ever see two old people in love? You know, they walk to show us. Be quiet. I think you're preaching to me more than I'm preaching to you. Where's Woody? But honestly, did you ever see two older people in love? You ever see them? Man, they walk slower. They do. Wrinkled hands. You know, walking along. They go to kiss. They go to pluck. Come on. You say, well, that looks gross. That's what they think about some of you younger kids. Make sure your heart's in the right place. Make sure you guard your heart. You that are young, use your youth to serve Jesus Christ and allow God to bring somebody special in your life. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. God has somebody that he's building. Stay with me. I'm done. Just for you. What you do is you surrender your life to be built just for them. One day you'll be walking down the hallway and all of a sudden it's like, well, I never recognized them before. Huh. Wonder what that's about. You go to your parents say, you know, she's got our attention. He's got our attention too. Hey, let's go check him out with the preacher. Make sure there's no trash underneath the carpet. You go into the preacher's office, preacher says, man, I'll tell you, he's a jewel. She's a jewel. Man, just wow. Hey, whoever gets him, whoever gets her, it's a jewel. I mean, just, whew, I tell you, if they've ever had any problems, they've overcome them. Man, I tell you, great character for God. Wow. Mom and dad goes back home and said, we're going to pray about it. Boy, we've seen it. We're impressed. Preacher's impressed. He does all the counseling around here, so he knows families more than anybody else. Wow. We're going to go home. We're going to pray about it. All of a sudden, the peace of God begins to resonate over the heart. And then you go to your child and you say, have you ever considered so-and-so? Maybe you ought to pray about him. Oh, Dad, I've already been praying. I was just waiting for you and Mom to wake up. Okay, great. Hey, why don't we do this? Let's get together with their authorities. Let's talk. Let's all pray together. Taking your time. No rush. Why rush? Why rush? You're going to be together the rest of the days of your life. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Why rush? Pray about it. Get Mom and Dad involved. By the way, it's cheaper on you. Hey, Mom, Dad, can we go out on a date? Can you come? and pay? Yeah. And they say, oh, we'd be glad to. You know, it ought to be sweet. You're missing it if it's not sweet. It ought to be neat. It ought to be a wow, not a, I keep telling you to stop. Back off. No, it ought to be sweet all the way. You can have that too if you do it God's way. Father, help us tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.